Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Times of India Sportscast podcast. My name is Akash Dasgupta. And on this episode, once again, we will be talking about and discussing the UEFA Champions League, where the first two legs of the semi-final clashes are now done and dusted. And now we'll be looking ahead also to the second legs. Of course, the four teams that are standing right now, all four are coveting that title, the Champions League title. And to talk about that and much more, it gives me great pleasure to welcome someone who's been here on Sportscast with me before. And I always love having him on the show with me. Mark Seagraves, former professional footballer, someone who's played for clubs like Manchester City, Bolton Wanderers, been with Liverpool as well. You would know him as someone who ran the Football Factory, a football school for children in India, and someone who doesn't really mince his words when it comes to talking about football, which is why I love having him on the show here on Sportscast. Mark, good to have you back here.
Nice to be back, Akash. It's been a while, but nice to be back.
Thank you so much. All right, I know that you don't have too much time, Mark, so I'm going to keep it short. Quickly jump into sort of the nitty-gritties of it. First up, would want to quickly discuss the first legs that have happened so far and want to begin with, of course, the marquee clash, which is Man City and Real. The first leg was played at the Bernabeu. The scoreline read 1-1. It was, though, a very high-quality encounter. Two great strikes, of course, by Vinicius Jr. and then Kevin De Bruyne. But did the final scoreline leave you a little surprised, perhaps?
Well, yeah. I mean, with the quality of player on the pitch, you know, the amount of goals. I mean, Haaland, 51 goals. Benzema, Vinicius Jr. I mean, you were expecting a lot more. But when there's so much at stake, you know, and it's a two-legged game, you know, Manchester City did exactly what they needed to do. They went there. They didn't have to weather any storm, because I think both teams cancelled each other out to a certain extent. You know, Real Madrid kept Haaland, quiet, and obviously Benzema never scored. But the one thing you know about both of these teams is they have world-class quality in them. And Vinicius Jr.'s goal was a world-class strike. And then obviously Kevin De Bruyne, who's been more of an assist guy this year, but he's the one who got on the end of a brilliant shot from outside of the box. And, you know, for the people who wanted goals, it wasn't the game. But for the purist who was looking at it, it was amazing. If you look at the likes of Walker, the way he dealt with Vinicius Jr., the way Vinicius Jr. and Camavinga linked up, you know, it was amazing. We don't talk about left backs and left siders linking up. We're always talking about Haaland's, and we're talking about Benzema's, and it was, there was so many little cameo roles in there. It was brilliant. And it's going to be much of the same, the second leg, because there's even more at stake, because they're both obviously well within the chances of winning the game. We look at Real Madrid from how they performed last year in games that they needed to win in adversity, and they got there and they won it, and they got to the final and won the final. We look at Manchester City, are they going to avenge what happened to them last year? I think so, especially when the second leg's back in Manchester in front of a sellout crowd who'll hopefully be, you know, voicing their vocal cords and pushing the team to victory. But it's going to be an amazing. And I'm very fortunate. I'm going to be doing the game for Sony. And I'll be as excited as everybody else, because it's a toss-up. But I just think the likes of the way Manchester City have been playing at home, especially in the goals they've been scoring at home, I think they might just have the edge. But my goodness, it's going to be a brilliant night.
Would it be fair to say, Mark, that your heart is with Manchester City?
And my head as well, yeah, but very much, very much my heart. I always wanted the best to be the best and to win.
Right.
But we've got two teams who are absolutely fantastic here. I think Manchester City have been playing really, really well. Obviously, Real Madrid domestically haven't been that great, with only coming second to Barca. But if you look at the Champions League, but if you look at how Manchester City have been playing, they've got another dimension now. They used to play with no strikers and pity-patty football around the boxes and getting goals. But now all of a sudden they've got that option of going beyond the defenders with Haaland. So they've got all bases covered. And if you look at the players that they do possess, you know, Grealish, you know, Mahrez, Silva, De Bruyne, Gundogan, my goodness. And then you look on the other page and you've got Modric, Cruz, Valverde, Rodrigo, Benzema, Vinicius Junior. It's just an amazing, it'll be an amazing night. I wish I was a little seven-year-old going to this game and looking at these stars and going, yeah, wow, that's what I want to be. You know, yeah, it's going to be tense, but it's going to be full of quality.
Absolutely. Superstars on both sides. This would have been a fantastic final in a way, you know, if these two teams didn't clash in the semis. But going by what you saw in the first leg at the Santiago Bernabeu, Mark, which would you say was the better side overall in terms of the quality of football that was on display? City, you would say, did dominate the first half.
No, City dominated possession, which, you know, they do a lot more in Premier League. I mean, they're up to 70-80% in some games. Yeah. But their possession rate was 57% against, you know, a normally dominant Real Madrid. And there was loads of cameo roles. I was happy with the likes of Camavinga going from a central midfield to a left back. I know he's been playing there a while on different occasions, but the link play with Vinicius Junior was great. Mm-hmm. Then to go against that, I thought Walker played well, you know, at the back. Walker. And, you know, I just think there was loads of different, so much quality. And I think if you look at even Haaland against Rudiger and Alaba, he didn't get much change. And then you look at Benzema against Stones and Diaz, not much change. So I think it was a brilliant game. For the purist, it was great. But there wasn't that many goals. But if you looked in the context of the quality and the will to want to defend, the will to want to get forward, the will to want to win, I think all of them things were there. As I say, everyone thought it might be a 4-4 or a 3-4 or a 5-4. I think there was far too much at stake. And the same thing is going to be, I mean, what the game could do with would be an early goal. And if there's an early goal, then we'll see a lot more free-flowing football and obviously a lot more chances and a lot more goals. But my goodness, top quality teams going at it, hammer and tongue. And it was really, really nice to see. And it was refreshing.
Absolutely. In fact, early goals is what the other semi-finals saw between the two Milan clubs. I'm going to talk to you about that as well in a bit. But sticking to City and Real for now, Mark, this the second leg will, of course, now be played in Manchester. Unlike last season when they played the second leg at the Bernabeu, do you think that gives City the advantage? They will be the happier of the two sides, in a sense, with the 1-1 scoreline in what was the away match for them?
Yeah, Guardiola said, doesn't he? He wants the crowd to get behind his team. And historically, I don't think the stadium lends itself to being a really good atmosphere. But I think if you look at what happened last year, that's not going to happen again this year. You know, that's going to be the one thing that Guardiola will be telling the players. And the players should know anyway that's never going to happen again. They've got themselves into a brilliant position. Going away to the Bernabeu and getting a draw in the first leg is exactly what they wanted. Forget about winning it. They would have wanted to win it, but this was a great result, especially coming from behind also. And so they'll take that to Manchester. And obviously they'll play their own game because they don't have to be worried about Real Madrid. They have to be worried in terms, but they're not going to change the shape for a team. They're going to play the way they play. And we know the way they play, that, you know, they'll play a back 4-2-3-1, but in defence, or going forward, they'll put Stones into midfield. So they'll have a back three, if you like, and Stones and Rodri, and then Gundogan will be able to go forward into the block of four up front. But I've seen Man City a lot this year, and I think they changed the way they go about playing the game. They're not as possession-based, even though they do have a lot of possession. They're not as possession-based as they were. They have an opportunity now to get in behind teams with the slide rule passes down the backs of defenders or getting it wide and getting into the box because they have Haaland. And that's been a bonus for them this year. But having said all of that, it's going to be the one who makes a mistake. And it's not just going to be a huge mistake. It might be a little slide pass that gets cut out, or it might be half a yard, you're out of position, or whatever it is. And that's going to turn this game. Because, as I say, they've got, there's far too many match winners. There's far too many world-class players on the pitch. And I'm not one for saying world-class player, you know, very easily. Mm. But if you look at the quality that's in there, it's just, it's mouth-watering. And as I say, it'll come down to them margins. You know, if you look at the stats, I've got the stats here. You know, Manchester City had 6 shots on target, whereas Real Madrid only had 3 at home. Mm. Now, that'll probably change because Man City are going to be tight and big because they don't want to concede early. And obviously the same with Real Madrid. And as I say, it might be that just that little mistake here and there, or the like misstep or a bad ball or a slice of a... And you know as well as I do, as soon as that happens and Benzema or Haaland get an opportunity, it's invariably it's in the back of the net, isn't it? And and that's what the game would need is a goal early on, and then it'll really, really take off, and we'll see. Because we know Real Madrid can come back from adversity. We've seen that in so many games last year, and we know that they've got the quality to hurt teams. And similarly, if you look at the way Man City have been playing in the Premier League also, and the amount of goals that they've scored and the amount of chances that they create, it's going to be a big night.
Absolutely. In fact, talking about Benzema, he almost scored, didn't he? But he was denied by the keeper. And in fact, talking about the keeper, talking about world-class players, we have to include the 2 keepers in that list as well. Yeah. Both of them pulling off good saves in the first leg. And in many ways, Mark, what really did happen was that City didn't crumble under pressure the way they did last season in the second leg. This time, the first leg was played at the Bernabeu. They didn't crumble under pressure because Real really came hard at them after a certain point in time. Now, the second leg, of course, is going to be at the Etihad. Real haven't won at the Etihad in the last 4 visits there. City's big focus, or at least one kind of focus, as we've discussed, is on ball possession and sort of pressing runs. But Ancelotti's defense seemed good enough to keep them out for large parts of the game. Rudiger, of course, as expected, came in for the suspended Militao. No goal for Haaland, which is really an anomaly these days, isn't it? So going into the second leg, how do you see the Manchester City pressing runs against the Real defense?
Do you know what? If the pressure was on in the first leg, then it's going to be magnified 10 times in the second leg. And I think both managers are vastly experienced. You know, both have won the Champions League. Ancelotti won it a lot more than anybody else. He knows the time of day. Guardiola knows the time of day. He has a team of 11 players who he believes in. And my God, he should believe in them because they're all real, real quality. And they'll negate each other right the way through. You know, the defenders, whether it's Militao who's been great this year or Rudiger keeps his place, you know, what they showed, both sides, you know, the likes of John Stones has revolutionised himself into this midfielder when they're in possession and defending. But I just think both teams have got the quality. And as you mentioned, and they never really get mentioned, I used to be a centre-half, and right, we would win 1-0 and the centre-forward had done nothing in the game and then it hit him on the side of the head and went in. I've been clearing off the line with my head, getting my nose bashed, and it's the centre-forward that gets all the glory. So, yeah, but the both keepers are top-class, world-class keepers, as we've seen with Courtois in the final last year as well. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a bit of a war of attrition, actually, because they're that good that they're going to counteract each other out. And as I say, it's going to be that little mistake, a little misstep where you might be in the right position, half a yard, and one of the players gets in. And it's... I hope the players will play with freedom, but with that heavy thing around the neck of like, let's not get beat. Both sides have it, you know. Man City have it where they got done last year, didn't they, by Real Madrid? That's not going to happen again. So they've got that to hang on to. They've got themselves in a really good position. As you say, they came back and weathered the storm to a certain extent, and that showed a lot of character. We know they score goals, albeit, you know, they were restricted to a certain amount of opportunities. But I just feel, it's a game where you know that this game, you've got 11 players on Real Madrid, you've got 11 players at Manchester City, and you know the majority of them players are going to play to a certain standard, which is an 8, a 9 out of 10, or a 10. You know, they're not going to be below that. And so the quality that's going to be on display, hopefully he plays Camavinga left-back again, you know, and we can see that pairing of him and Vinicius Junior, and then the experience of Walker. I seen Walker go up to Vinicius Junior after the game and slapped him on the head jokingly. It's like, you know, you've really tested me today, you know. But, and both of them got the credence for it. So, yeah, it was a great game. But, yeah, as I say, the second leg's huge. It should be the final, as you were lied to. But it isn't. It's the semi-final. Manchester City have got themselves in a great position. They're at home. They've got all of their memories from last year. I just think that should be the edge for them.
Right. Mark, I'll just try and squeeze in a couple of more questions before we wrap up. I know that we're running short of time, but it's always such a great time talking to you. So I wanted to just keep this going just a little bit more. The tougher question now, perhaps the toughest of them all so far. Your prediction for the final scoreline for this tie and who's going to win?
Do you know what? It's going to be very tight. But I've got, because they're at home and they've got the fans behind them, they've got all of their memories from last year in their head about, you know, thou shalt not do this again. I think Manchester City will win 2-1.
All right.
In the game, not overall on aggregate. 2-1 in the game, and obviously 3-2 overall.
Okay.
I just think they'll have enough. And it'll be, as I say, it'll be one chance or one effort or one mistake or one misstep, and that's all that'll be.
Right. Very quickly, Mark, wanted to switch across now to the other semi-final, AC versus Inter. Now, that match, again, surprised everybody, at least the initial bit of that match, because there were, two goals in 3 minutes, in the space of 3 minutes that were scored. Dzeko and Mkhitaryan both finding the back of the net. Now, Inter haven't played the Champions League final since 2010, which was the last time that they won the title. And before that, their last final appearance before that was way back in 1972. And now they're on the verge of this season's final.
Amazing, considering the campaign they've had domestically. It hasn't been the best. But I watched the game. And before the game, I texted Manas Singh, who's one of the presenters, and I said, Inter Milan will do AC Milan. And I didn't think they'd do it as easily as they did. Especially what happens is in this game, I don't think AC Milan got out the blocks really in the first leg. And goals change games. And they changed the way games are, and they changed the way systems are, and tactics. And they managed to get them two goals relatively early in the game. They could have had a third with a penalty VAR, I think it was. And I just think AC Milan, they looked laboured. You know, they didn't have any sort of real pace, or that was because Leao wasn't playing. And obviously he's going to be available for the next leg. And I've been asked, will they change the system? AC Milan haven't changed the system under Pioli for a long time. So I think they'll play the same system, but they'll have Leao in. And what that possesses is its pace, power. He's direct. He gets at players, and that makes them uncomfortable. And that might be the difference with them, at least scoring a goal and making the game a little bit more interesting. But I just know with the Italians that defensively, when they need to keep a clean sheet, invariably they do. And if you looked at both of these teams in the second leg of the quarterfinals, they both needed a clean sheet. And they both got a clean sheet, you know, and managed to get themselves through. I think it's great for Italian football, and I think it's great that at least one of the teams is going to go through. And either one for me. AC Milan's probably a bigger club in terms of, you know, trophies won and not, but Inter Milan are equally as big, and they were the underdogs, because I thought Napoli were going to be the ones that were going to go through. So at least we've got one team in the final, and I think it's going to be Inter Milan. I think they did enough, even though it was away from home for them, which it wasn't. Yeah. But they'll have the vast majority of supporters. It's because it's their home game, the second leg. So the stadium will be full of Inter Milan rather than AC Milan supporters. So that'll be another added advantage. But the one thing, you know, a wounded animal is the most dangerous, isn't it? And if AC Milan have got nothing to lose, so they'll give it all they've got. And if they get the early goal, then let's see how my prediction on Italian defending will hold up.
Well, you're absolutely right, Mark, that AC Milan, in fact, was the pick for most experts for this leg. So what Inter did surprise most people. This was, in fact, the first Milan derby in the Champions League semi-finals for the first time in 20 years. And the last time this happened, AC Milan had won. And they went on to, of course, win the title, beating Juventus. Maldini was the man of the match in the final. Many members of those teams were in the stands watching, along with someone like a Novak Djokovic. What would your scoreline prediction be for this game, for the second leg, and the favourites to win this tie?
I think the favourites to win the tie, obviously, if any team go into any game with a 2-0 advantage, you would think that they're going to win the game. So with that, I would say Inter Milan. But I think AC Milan will win the game. But I think they'll win 1-0, but they won't get through. And I think that all the damage was done when them first two early goals went in for them.
Right. So essentially, Mark Seagraves is picking Manchester City and Inter Milan as the two finalists for the Champions League season this time around. And who would he go with for the eventual winner?
Oh, wow. There's only one winner there, isn't there?
Head and heart both. Head and heart both.
Man City, yeah, of course. I mean, as I say, the semi-final, fortunately, is the final, isn't it? Real Madrid, Manchester City. I'd like to think that would have been the final. And that's no disrespect to Inter Milan, because if you look at their squad and the players that they have available, it's a fantastic squad as well. But I just think a Man City 11 on form and an Inter Milan 11 on form, there's only one winner.
Absolutely. I would have to agree with you on that one, Mark. I think Manchester City do have the edge. So you're picking City to go all the way. And of course, City fans are going to be very happy to hear that. And all you City fans and all other club fans who are going to be watching the Champions League on Sony, you can, of course, catch all the live action along with Mark Seagraves' analysis across the Sony Sports Network. The two semi-final second legs are going to be played on the 17th and the 18th of this month. Early morning India time, of course. And you can catch Mark there on the Sony Sports Network. Mark, always an absolute pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for being with me again.
Thanks, Akash. Look forward to the next one.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.